Hi everyone, welcome back to the DevOps Lab. I am Damien and I am joined by Asim. What are we talking about today?
Today we'll see demos for how you can add your database to the CI/CD pipeline where you have the CI and CD for your web application.
Nice, sounds good, don't miss it. Hi everyone, I'm Damien and welcome back to the DevOps Lab. We are here live at Microsoft Ignite, the tour, the first event ever in Berlin. So, and I'm joined today by Asim. We were talking before, you have a session later today about database migrations as part of your Azure DevOps pipeline, correct?
Yeah.
Cool. So this is something that we've addressed on this show before, but I think it's really important, something that's worth stressing and worth showing again. We were talking specifically about there's different ways to do your database changes alongside your code, but as well as that, making changes in your pre-production environments to make sure that it actually works when you get to production, right?
Yeah.
Is this a problem that you see in a lot of companies?
The problem here is that when we need to apply the migrations to the database, then we are sometimes afraid if we do that on the production environment, if things go bad, then it's the production, so it's too dangerous to do that in the production.
Right. Yeah.
So what we do is that we create another, we call pre-production environment, which is similar to the production, and at that production we test all the changes. So if it works on the pre-production environment, we are sure at 99% it's gonna work also on the production. So it's a more safe way to do migrations for the database.
Okay, and we see a lot of the time people think, well, the database is this special thing, I need to do those changes manually, but then you haven't tested them really, have you? Until you get to production.
Yeah, so we'll have, with that, we'll have integration tests and also unit tests, but for the database, yes, we can write unit tests. So those will make sure that the changes we have created, it validates the change to the database.
Okay.
So this means we are sure our database will have the schema that we wanted to have.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well let's start kind of at the start of where you get into this. So there's a few different ways of deploying your database alongside your application. We've talked about it before in the show, but just to recap, can you show me like a few of these different ways that you might want to deploy your database alongside?
Yeah, we have three main ways. So the first two are using Entity Framework, because Entity Framework it has a tool for managing database migrations.
Yep.
So we can use that. So we can generate the scripts that do the migration. Then we run them on SQL Server or SQL Azure.
Okay.
Then we have another option, which is more suited for database administrators, which is using the SSDT tools.
Okay.
So this one will have the database project with our ASP.NET core application.
Yep.
And that database project is the one that will be used by the database administrators in order to generate the new schema for the database. And also, they will have the option to change scripts.
Okay, yeah. Great.
So DBA will have more control on the scripts that will be run in the database.
Perfect. Okay. Can you show me, because this is one of these things, we do these changes in these migration scripts, but people still like to run them manually. But you can absolutely do this inside Azure DevOps, right?
Exactly. That's why Azure DevOps is here, to automate the manual tasks. So here we'll automate the migrations. So instead of the migrations are run it manually by the DBA. Now it will be run it in our CI/CD pipelines.
Okay, perfect. Can you show us a couple of examples of this?
Yeah, so here I have an ASP.NET Core application. So here we have this sample template for building the application to generate the package.
Yeah.
And here we have nothing changed it.
Cool. Okay. So we've got, this is just the .NET application itself.
Yeah,
correct?
This is the .NET application. And to this app, I don't have any special task for the database. Because here, the first option using Entity Framework is that we can let Entity Framework manage all the migrations for us. It's just one line of code. We tell Entity context.database.migrate. And with this simple and magic line of code, Entity Framework will generate the migration folder in ASP.NET,
okay.
And then it will run that that class or that scripts in this CD pipeline.
So this is already in the code. You haven't had to do anything else?
Exactly. Okay. This is in the code using database.migrate.
Okay. Right.
So this is the CI for it, and then for the CD, we'll take that that package, then we'll deploy it to an Azure App Service, for example.
Okay, so this Entity Framework migration stuff, it just does it all for you, really, in this case. You're just saying migrate in your code.
Yes, exactly. Then we let Entity Framework manage all of that. We can roll back, because in Entity Framework, we can roll back, so we can do the same if things doesn't go well, then we can go back. And the advantage here of using Entity Framework in this case is that the scripts or the migrations have versions.
Okay, yes, right.
So you will have all the history of your migrations. You will have a generated class saying this is for adding a second column, another one for adding a third column with the timestamp. So you can look at the table and see all the migrations that you have applied to your table.
And when they were applied. And
exactly.
Okay, right, that's cool.
Yeah.
So that's one way of doing it. You mentioned another one or another couple?
Yeah, another one using also Entity Framework.
Okay.
And that one, the problem with this approach is that Entity Framework has all the control over the scripts that would be run it in the CD pipeline. But if we want to have a little bit of more control, then maybe I want to see the scripts that was generated by Entity Framework before running them.
So this is where I stand as well. I want to see what these scripts are doing. I don't love the idea of just letting it go and make the decisions for me. I want to write the scripts myself.
Yeah.
So this is probably better for me. This is what I would prefer.
Yeah. This way we can validate it.
Yes.
So here, at this second pipeline, I have took the same first pipeline, but I have just added some additional task, which is here, create the migrations for Entity Framework. So we have a simple line of code right here, a simple command, .NET EF migration script, and using this script, when Entity Framework will generate the migration, it will also generate the script that will be run later during the CD.
Right, okay.
So here we'll have the file for that script. So in this case, before running the CD, we can go and take a look at this script. Mm-hmm. It will be in the drop folder and the artifact.
Yep.
So we can validate it there.
Yeah, that next step, you're publishing that as an artifact too.
Exactly.
Right.
That's why we are doing publish. Then during the CD, we'll deploy our web app, but in addition to that, we'll go and add a new task to deploy that generated script, that generated SQL script. For that here, I have used the task Azure SQL Database Deployment with the connection to my database, and also with specifying that here I want to run a SQL script file.
All right.
And then I give it the script that was generated during the CI.
Okay, that's very cool. So that gives you a little bit more control.
A little bit more of control.
You can at least see the script before you decide to deploy them, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
So does that script apply to a specific environment, or is it a generic script that knows how to apply it to a test environment and a staging environment and a production environment, even if those databases are at different stages?
Yeah, this script applies to SQL databases, to SQL Server database, in our case right here, and it applies also to SQL Azure. Of course, you need to take care of the differences between SQL Server and SQL Azure, because on your local machine, you will be testing on SQL Server, and you will be deploying on SQL Azure.
Okay.
So in some special cases, the small differences you need to care to take care about those.
So, but the if you're deploying to your test environment, for example, which is at a database version 2 or something, like a schema that was a little bit old, and then when you deploy to that with this script, will that still work even if you're deploying to a version 3, like a more up-to-date database? Or is this specific to a particular database version, like a particular schema version?
Actually, this with it works as Entity Framework manages the migrations. So if you have V2 in your Azure database, uh-huh. and you have generated the script for version 4,
yep.
then Entity Framework can go to see the table that was generated on the database to see you are on version 2 and you want to migrate to version 4. So it will go and apply the two migrations,
yep.
the two missing migrations, 3 and 4.
Okay. All right, so it will apply to whatever level we want.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's very cool. So we've got the two Entity Framework migrations. You mentioned something about doing a SQL database, so SSDT.
Yeah. Yeah, we said with this approach, we have a little bit of more control than the first one. Mm-hmm. But if we want to get more control, like 100% control of the scripts that yep. would run, then at this stage, we need to use SSDT tools.
Okay, cool.
So with SQL Server data tools, we'll be using the database project.
Okay.
We can open that project in Visual Studio, or as DBA do, they open it in SQL Server Management Studio.
Okay. Yep.
So with that project, if you want to use that project, then here we need to build it first in order to generate the DACPAC file. Mm-hmm. The DACPAC file is a file that will contain the new schema of our database.
Yep.
And that file, because it contains all the scripts, all the SQL scripts, we'll be deploying that file instead of deploying sample SQL scripts.
Okay, all right. So this is just another way of doing it.
Another way, and it's the most and the common, the most used actually.
Okay.
It's more used than Entity Framework because it offers more control through the DBA.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
So this is a bit more complicated than the other ones. You've got your .NET build, but then you've got a completely different set of tasks.
Yeah. So here, first thing I have done is that I have splitted the build for my web app, and I have the build for my database.
Okay.
So maybe I'm using multiple agents to run them in parallel.
Right.
So yeah, I might gain some time. So what we'll be doing, and I have third one for my ARM template.
Yep.
We'll go through this at the last demo. So for now, to build our database, so we said we'll go and build the database project to generate the DACPAC file. Then we'll go and copy it and publish it to the job folder.
Okay.
Now, during the CD, we need to publish that DACPAC file. How we can do that?
Mm-hmm.
From this CD pipeline right here, I'll go and use the same task, Azure SQL Database Deployment, but here, and I connect to my database, but with one difference, is that here I'll go and tell it to deploy SQL DACPAC file, and here I give it the path to my DACPAC file,
which is the artifact that you uploaded as part of your compilation.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Here you need to take care of some exceptions that might arise. For mm-hmm. example, when the DACPAC starts running, and at the middle, an error has occurred.
Yes.
Then it's the worst case. You don't have a plan to go back.
Right.
You need to figure how to do that
okay.
manually. So this is one of the limitations.
So this is the deployment process. So you've shown us the three different builds, the three different ways of creating those changes.
Yeah.
And this is the deployment process for, and that didn't look too much different between the Entity Framework migrations one. It's just the first Entity Framework's migration where it handled it all for you. It just mm-hmm. does it with a line of code.
Yeah.
You're using the same task here for DACPAC and for the SQL script migrations.
Yeah.
But one of them, just a different drop down with that type and a different path. So this is the process, right? But mm-hmm. one of the other things we were talking about was making sure that those database changes will actually work in environments. So when you deploy your application, you deploy to a test environment and a staging environment, and
mm-hmm.
you make sure that those work. But people quite often don't do that with their database, so it's very difficult to verify that it actually is going to work in production. Right?
Yeah, and as I mentioned, the error that might occur with DACPAC, mm-hmm. we want to prevent this error.
Yes.
So what we do? What if now I can test, I can create another environment, like the production environment,
yep.
we'll call it pre-production,
mm-hmm.
and we run this migration on this pre-production environment.
Okay.
Because the two environments are similar, so if it works on this pre-production environment, then we are sure at 99% it yep. will work also on production environment.
So how do you make that like production? So a lot of the time the problems come when, you know, my test database only has five customers and they're the five customers that I've created and they have three purchases and it works there. Why it's not working in production though?
Yeah.
So
the data here is also important.
Yes.
So what if I can have the same data as in my production environment?
Okay.
So what if I can import the production database to my pre-production and run the tests on that database? Of course, I should make sure that the data is, we don't have real names and real credit card numbers.
Sanitized and things like that.
Exactly, yeah. Sanitized.
Okay.
How we can do that? I can show you here. For my, here I have created a pre-production environment in the CD pipeline. So if we took a look at the pipeline, then here we see before running the production, we'll go and run this pre-production.
Okay.
And we have a condition to not go to production unless the pre-production succeeds.
Okay, cool.
What happens in the pre-production? So in the pre-production, we just needed to validate the migrations. So we can allow ourselves to create the production, run the migrations, check if everything is as expected, then we go and destroy that environment.
Right.
So we save the we save the bills on Azure resources.
Okay, so you're building it kind of on demand.
Yeah, exactly.
We're about
temporary environment.
Let's create it. Yeah.
Yeah. For that, I'm using here RM templates to create the environment. I'm creating SQL Server and a database, or just SQL Server, because after I'll be importing the database from the production environment.
Right, okay.
We have many options for importing the database. We can only import the data or whatever. Here I'm importing all the database.
Okay.
You can choose the which solution fits your needs.
Okay.
Here I'm importing the whole database. So I do that through a PowerShell, Azure PowerShell script, which is here using new Azure RM SQL database copy.
Okay. So is this something you wrote or it's in the Azure?
It's in the Azure,
right.
It's Azure PowerShell.
Okay, that's very cool.
Yeah, so that's official Microsoft command.
So there's a question here. We were mentioning sanitation of this data, which is great. But if you're spinning up an environment, deploying, copying the database across, and then testing that it worked, and then tearing it all down afterwards, you could potentially do this in a resource group that developers and DBAs don't have access to at all, in which case you might not even want to sanitize the data. Because sanitization adds another...
Yeah, when developers can access that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you just did this, spun it up, made sure it worked, and torn it down, nobody accesses that data anyway. Maybe you can just use the production data, like you not even need to sanitize it. So it is exactly the same as production.
Oh, yeah. That would be a good idea, yeah.
Just
maybe.
Just
yeah.
Yeah.
We are already using the RM template, so maybe you can add some other section in the RM template to say this resource group is only visible by those people. Or
yeah, maybe only visible by Azure DevOps itself.
Yeah.
The agents.
Yeah.
Okay. Just thinking about...
Yeah, good idea, right? It's like this.
Obviously not applicable to every scenario. But yeah.
Yeah. Solves problems. So here we'll import or we'll copy the database from production. Then we'll apply our DACPAC file using the same task.
Right. That's very cool. And then at the end?
At the end, we'll go and delete our environment.
So you're only using it while you're actually testing that it's going to work.
Exactly. And if something bad happens to the migration, then we'll get notification from Azure DevOps saying the migration doesn't go well. And we can take a look at the log and check where things was breaking.
Yeah. But importantly, you haven't gone to production if something
Yes. Here we are in a safe, let's say, sandboxed environment before going to production.
So that's a pretty cool strategy. Can I just have a look very quickly at that pipeline? So you're going to dev to test, and then your pre-production is really just an environment to make sure your database migration is actually going to work.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. And more, we have also some other scenarios. So here we are checking the migrations to the database. We can also add unit tests and integration tests to the database.
Yep.
So for that, we might create another environment that takes a copy of the production database, then runs integration and unit tests to that.
Nice.
Compiler.
So you're really putting the database like into this pipeline to make sure that it is going to work.
Yeah, and we are applying the same principles for, we apply it for the app, we apply them for the database. The database also needs to be unit tested. It needs to have integration tests.
Yeah.
And yeah, we can create, we can add database as exactly the same way we add the application.
Great. And that, like, thank you for showing this as well. And I can't stress this enough. This is an example of exactly how you can really test those things that people find very hard to include in their pipeline.
Yeah.
Or have excuses for why they can't put them in their pipeline. But this scenario is something that everybody encounters, and this is a fantastic solution for it.
Yeah.
Cool. So you are up a little bit later tomorrow, your session is that right?
Yes, tomorrow is going to be my session about how you can add your database to the CI/CD pipelines using Azure DevOps.
Excellent. So yeah, if we are still yet to have the Microsoft Ignite, the tour event in your city, this is the kind of content that you can definitely see at these events. Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Awesome. And join us next time for another DevOps Lab.